Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, it is Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs will join me later in the show to discuss this Sunday's matchup. A big game for the Steelers. They need a bounce back game, especially from the offense, given what we saw on Sunday. Of course, there was some offensive success, but it was mixed in between, a lot of turnovers there. The Steelers have really owned this matchup with the Chiefs for the past couple years, right? The last time the Chiefs beat the Steelers, it was Landry Jones at the helm. That was during Ben Roethlisberger's knee injury. And the last time the Chiefs beat Ben Roethlisberger, you have to go all the way back to 2009. So it's been, 9 years since the Chiefs beat Ben Roethlisberger. The matchup over the last couple years has really been defined by two things. One, the success of Le'Veon Bell in the Steelers' running game, and the success of the Steelers' defense against the Chiefs' offense. Alex Smith and that Chiefs' offense was not one that stretched the field vertically, right? And it really didn't test this Steelers' secondary. In fact, it kind of played into the strengths of the Steelers' secondary, which was kind of keeping things in front of you, and again, not allowing big plays. The Chiefs weren't really going for big plays in a lot of these, and it led to a lot of success for the Steelers' defense. And these, the Chiefs really had a tough time scoring in this matchup. That will not be the same this time around. I mean, with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback for the Chiefs, you're going to see a very different Chiefs offense. And if you're expecting to see the same level of success that this team has had against the Chiefs in the recent years, I think you're going to be very, very surprised. The Chiefs are going to be more than willing in this game to stretch the field and go deep. Mahomes is a big arm quarterback who loves to sling it around out there. You saw that against the Chargers. They got out to a big lead early in that game. And Tyreek Hill at wide receiver is the perfect weapon for a guy like Mahomes, given the elite speed that Tyreek Hill has. It's going to be a real test for this secondary going up against this Chiefs offense this time around. And then, of course, James Conner. Can he have the same level of success that Le'Veon has had in this matchup? I don't want to call James Conner on one-week wonder because we've seen this throughout the preseason. But again, Conner is, at this point, going to have to continue to prove this week after week that he can continue to be a starting caliber running back. Remember, Le'Veon Bell has had 150-plus yards in the last two meetings with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, he's James Conner has his work cut out for him to have that level of success again against the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to talk about all of that today with Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. Also, follow me on Twitter, at Steeler Country. Join in on the discussion there. Love talking to you guys on Twitter. You can also find me now on Facebook. Go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, like the Facebook page, join the Facebook group, and again, you can join the discussion there as well. Let's start today with some news and notes. Martavis Bryant, the wide receiver formerly on the Oakland Raiders, is now rejoining the Oakland Raiders. Again, he was cut during the 53-man cut process. He is likely facing a year-long suspension, but that is still in some sort of appeals process, so we'll see what happens with Martavis Bryant as far as his suspension goes. But in the meantime, he is joining the Oakland Raiders. Again, seems like he's going to be on a one-year deal. He will likely play again Sunday, according to reports. So, I'm happy for Martavis Bryant that he's back in football. The suspension thing still looming out there, though. We'll see what happens in the future. I'm hopeful that he can get his life and his career back on track. T.J. Watt won Defensive Player of the Week in the AFC. Very well deserved for T.J. Watt. As we talked about on Monday on my rapid reaction, that was a dominant performance from T.J. Watt. 4 sacks, 11 tackles. He was very good as a disruptor in the passing game, but equally as good in the run game. Always good in coverage. He's been a player for this, during this offseason, especially during preseason and training camp, right? That's a little bit out of sight, out of mind for T.J. Watt. We've had far more questions on this team about guys like John Bostic, an inside linebacker, and about Bud Dupree and how he's going to do switching to the blind side. We've talked extensively about guys like Sean Davis and Terrell Edmonds and Morgan Burnett at the safety position. We really haven't talked a whole lot about T.J. Watt, and that's just because we haven't seen him, right? We have not seen T.J. Watt throughout this entire process, but again, he was a player going from last year into this year that we were all hoping would make a big leap, and he did. And again, very nice to see him getting rewarded with Defensive Player of the Week. Before we get to my discussion with Ryan Tracy, let me tell you about our sponsors for today's podcast, MyBookie. Just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with, and that's why this season MyBookie is your best bet. They have been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. I'm recommending them this year. They are my bookie of choice for the 2018 season. As I've told you guys, I got my three-team teasers going. I got some over-unders for wins this year. I even have my Ben Roethlisberger season MVP bet. That one not going great, but that's a long season. One game not going to define that bet. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in a given game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. We are also brought to you by The Athletic, a subscription-based publisher of smarter sports coverage for diehard fans. The Athletic model is simple. No ads, no pop-ups, no autoplay videos. Instead, readers subscribe for authentic, in-game coverage written by journalists who know their teams inside and out. For the Steelers, that's Mark Caboli. He's been covering the team for years. One of the best in the business. Great insight from him. And it's not just him. You have a slew of NFL writers nationwide, including Jay Glazer, Lindsey Jones, Mike Lombardi, Ross Tucker, Ted Wynn, and for their NFL draft coverage, they have Dane Brugler, again, one of the best in the business. Coverage will go beyond game recaps and trade speculation to provide smarter analysis and a deeper perspective about teams and the league. Subscribers have access to local and national content, more than 650 to 700 news stories published every week across all sports. Subscribe and be part of the future of sports journalism. And if you're interested, go over to theathletic.com/lockedonsteelers for 40% off your subscription. Again, theathletic.com/lockedonsteelers, all lowercase, for 40% off your subscription. And then let's get to Crossover Wednesday. Here's my conversation I had earlier this week with Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs.
Well, it's Wednesday on the Locked On Network, and you know what that means. We have a great crossover with the Chiefs getting ready to play the Steelers this weekend. Tony Serino's with us, the host of Locked On Steelers. How are you, Tony?
Doing very good. How are you?
You know, I'm fighting to keep up. There's a lot going on, and honestly have more to talk about this week than I thought we were going to.
Yeah, well, you know, the Steelers coming off of a devastating tie. How about that in week one? Not a lot of people saw that coming. The Browns, of course, had a great offseason, but not the way the Steelers were hoping for week one to play out, for sure.
I can imagine. And, you know, the Chiefs actually outperformed expectations, even on our end. We had not expected that kind of explosion. But, you know, I'd like to start with the Steelers because I got to figure they're pissed off, and this is going to be a team that's out here to get even.
Hey, how about this? Think about this. Going into this week, right, isn't it so interesting? These two teams have played, you know, every year for the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah, this is a team, the Steelers team, going to go into this game against Kansas City coming off of a, you know, this was a devastating tie, right? They turned the ball over 5-6 times in this football game. Early on in the year, it feels like it's a must win for this Steelers team. It's the same kind of story we saw last year. The Steelers had that devastating loss to Jacksonville, right? They turned the ball over 5 times. They're going up against a Kansas City team a year ago that was undefeated. They looked great. You know, I, to me, it's so strange how this has the same feeling. I know it's only week two. We can't say, you know, there's a must win at this point in the year. But boy, after that showing against Cleveland, it feels like a must win in some ways. And it feels very reminiscent to the game these two teams played just a year ago.
Well, and I got to start on the offensive side of the ball for the Steelers with the Chiefs defense hurting. You know, it's troublesome in the secondary. They're definitely at a disadvantage, young and guys that are just kind of not quite fitting together yet. But it looks like the Steelers are having a little bit of trouble getting Ben on track. And is that because of the O-line or is there something else going on?
You know, it's a lot of different things, right? I mean, Ben has started slow for the past 2 years now, right? You know, if you go to Sunday's game plus the beginning of last season, it's just been a slow start for him over the past, you know, 2 years now. Last year, it took him really until maybe that Kansas City game. Or I don't know if he had a great game in that one, but, you know, really took him until midseason to get him going. And, you know, last year, there was the Le'Veon situation of him coming back after holding out all of training camp and trying to work him back in the offense, trying to get Martavis back in. This year, you know, we don't have those same kind of excuses, right? I mean, this was a very strange game because James Conner got going early on and you felt like, well, that, you know, that's going to ease some of the pressure off of Ben Roethlisberger, off of the passing game. And yet you know, this was a team that went out there, was very sloppy offensively. It felt like Ben and the wide receivers weren't on the same page. You know, Ben playing on the road has been a problem for this team for years now. That reared its ugly head again. There's a lot of hope that this team going home now, playing a game in Pittsburgh, that, you know, they can turn it around offensively. They have too much talent to have a game like that against the Cleveland Browns.
Well, the other thing they have too much for is distractions, right? I was very happy for Connor. He's a guy that I liked coming out of college. Hate to see him in gold and black, to tell you the truth. But it's one of those deals, like, you're happy for the kid, but, man, he looks like he's able to, obviously in a completely different style, but he can grind yardage out and be a force for this offense, can't he?
Yeah, and we saw that during the preseason. I mean, there was a lot of hype going into the regular season. I think a lot of Steeler fans were somewhat excited to see James Conner start. I mean, he's a local kid. He has a great story. You know, so when Le'Veon was holding out, I think there were a lot of Steeler fans and even Steeler players that were excited for James Conner to get this opportunity. He played great against the Cleveland Browns. Now, you know, you talk about the distractions and all of that, and, you know, this has been a team over the past two seasons that has not been shy to their fair share of distractions. Here we go again with the Le'Veon situation. That seems like, you know, the Le'Veon situation seems like it's going to be a multi-week holdout. And so I think over the next couple weeks, that's going to kind of die down as this team kind of settles in and starts playing real football. I was very impressed with what James Conner did on Sunday. The guy fumbled, so that's the cardinal sin as a running back. You cannot fumble. Otherwise, though, I thought he was spectacular, nearly 200 yards of total offense. The question now is going to be, can he sustain that? Was that a one-game wonder for James Conner? Can he sustain that over these, you know, 10 weeks that Le'Veon looks like he'll be holding out?
Well, and he certainly plays into the Chiefs' defense, because a straight-ahead runner like that is something that they can deal with a little bit better. The thing that I'm worried about is they've always had trouble with Antonio Brown, and what's the receiver cast around him likely to do against the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this has been a matchup where Antonio Brown has done wonders. You know, this is the receiving core around Antonio Brown has gotten better, but, you know, especially with Juju, right? I mean, having a real number two option in Pittsburgh, you know, has been a problem over the last couple of years. Now Juju has developed, but really, it's going to be about Ben Roethlisberger getting back on the same page with his receiving core. You know, we got Justin Hunter out there as well on the outside. There's a lot of excitement about potentially working James Washington into this offense. He's a rookie out of Oklahoma State, had a great preseason, had a great training camp. But, you know, the question is going to be, does he understand the nuance of playing with Ben Roethlisberger? He came off of an abdominal injury at the end of preseason. We didn't see a lot of him against Cleveland. I know a lot of Steeler fans are hopeful that he can get going in this game, right? Because Justin Hunter did not have a great game. And there's also Vance McDonald hanging out there as a tight end that can be a significant contributor to this Steelers offense. But he's, you know, his injury history, just catching up with him again as he sat out all of training camp, all of preseason. This is going to be Antonio Brown and Juju for a little while until they get James Washington back into this offense, and until Vance McDonald can get back in. This is really going to be the AB and Juju show.
Well, on the other side of the ball, you know, I don't think the Chiefs' offensive line is going to be quite as kind to TJ Watt, but he's definitely showed himself to be a force week one, didn't he?
He did. And, you know, for a Steeler team that has struggled so much to get pressure off the edge, you know, the Steelers led the league in sacks a year ago, but that was largely because of the amount of pressure that they brought from different areas, getting 8 sacks from their inside linebacker, 4 sacks from their nickel corner, 12 and a half from a 3-4 defensive end, finally getting an edge rusher who had consistent pressure. And I thought Bud Dupree was very good against the Cleveland Browns as well. He had 8 pressures as well. So, you know, this is a team that has needed to get pressure in this way. Now, look, they were going up against a Cleveland offensive line that was a little bit in shambles there in that game. So I'll be very interested to see how they do against this Kansas City offensive line. Can they get pressure on Mahomes? Can they keep Mahomes in the pocket? This is going to be a real interesting test for this defense, and a really interesting test for the secondary as well, as Mahomes, this strong arm quarterback who can really stretch this team vertically.
All I want to know from you is that front, if the Chiefs, Kareem Hunt was kind of an afterthought in this particular game, and I think they have to look to get him going. And I look at the lineup, and I'm not 100% sure where they need to actually aim at. If you're scouting for me, where should these Chiefs look to attack the Steelers' front?
I think, on the edges has been a problem for this team. Now, you know, again, TJ Watt and Bud Dupree played much better against Cleveland, but, you know, that has been a problem for this team. The athleticism of the linebacking corps, specifically on the inside, You know, their ability to keep the edge has been a problem for this team. I would definitely be attacking the edges of this team. There's a lot of questions about John Bostic coming into this season and his athleticism, his ability to fill space. He looked very good against Cleveland, but again, you know, how much can you read into a Steelers defense going up against the Cleveland Browns? That's why I think this Kansas City game is so intriguing for a Steeler defense that, look, it had a great game against Cleveland, but the Cleveland Browns are not the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to bring a lot more to the table, both through the air and on the ground. So if I'm Kansas City and Kareem Hunt, I want to attack the edges. I want to test the athleticism of the linebacking core on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I think that's definitely going to be their game plan. You know, they're going to look to continue to add wrinkles to attack levels in particular against this defense. And it looks like, you know, to start it off, the Steelers safeties played fairly well. I think they both graded out well on PFF. And I don't remember any major plays that I look like they were out of place. But Sean Davis still gives me questions about if he's not the guy that, especially with the speedier threats, that they want to go attack.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the most interesting thing watching this game for me on the Steelers defense is getting Sean Davis and watching him tested vertically as that deep safety in this game. You know, Sean Davis has a lot of athleticism, but he's played strong safety for his entire career. That game against Cleveland, his first as a strong safety, he did very well. I thought he was very natural there. He's been a player throughout his career. He's been very hesitant at the strong safety position. You didn't see that hesitancy at free safety. Looked a little more natural. But, you know, Mahomes, a big arm quarterback who's going to test him vertically. I'm going to be very interested to see what Sean Davis does. Then you have Terrell Edmonds, the rookie out of Virginia Tech. He's going to be playing strong in this game. Travis Kelce, one of these big name tight ends. The Steelers have done a good job in the past of shutting down Kelce or keeping him under wraps. I'll be interested to see how they defend Kelce in this one. If they trust someone like Edmonds to match up there, if they bring in Morgan Burnett, who they got from the Green Bay Packers, it'll be interesting to see how they match up with Kelce as well.
Yeah, and that's honestly the matchup that I'm looking for to blossom because, like you said, you either have Burnett that can play well, but I think Kelce's had his way with him before, versus the rookie. And, you know, is that for you probably the matchup that you're worried most about, or is there something else I'm missing?
Yeah, the matchup I'm most worried about is this Steelers defense just going up against a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. You know, so one of the things that the Steelers have done so well in this matchup traditionally is because Alex Smith was not a vertical threat or hadn't been a vertical threat, that they were able to sit on underneath routes and you know, really cause the Chiefs a lot of troubles. With Mahomes now, you know, being able to stretch this team vertically, I am definitely worried about this team, their ability to communicate. Kelce certainly going to be a matchup problem. They drafted Terrell Edmonds for situations like this. Now, look, it's just week two. It's Edmonds' second game as a pro. Do you trust him to cover Travis Kelce this early in his career? I have to imagine they're going to put Morgan Burnett in early in this game and play some Burnett against Kelce. But it's going to be an interesting matchup watching Mahomes trying to stretch this Steeler defense, a defense that, again, has been so susceptible to big plays, to miscommunications in the secondary. And don't forget, Joe Hayden out with a hamstring injury. He's likely to miss this game, it sounds like. So you're going to have a second-year corner Cam Sutton starting this game on the outside. That'll be another test as well with those Chiefs receivers.
I didn't realize he was going to be out. That gives me my last question. If they need to target somebody, especially because Sammy Watkins has been a little slow to get on the upstart, if they want to get him rolling, do they go after Sutton or Artie Burns?
Ooh, good question. You know, Cam Sutton's been so sneaky good for the team. I think you'd probably go after Cam Sutton. He didn't get his head around quickly enough on a deep pass to Higgins. Gordon brought a touchdown down over him, although I thought Sutton did a good job of getting his hand in there and trying to, you know, Gordon just did an amazing job bringing the catch down. You're probably going to go after Sutton. I think Artie's probably more susceptible as far as the kind of miscommunications or blown assignments that we've seen in the past. I think Sutton's been more stable, but we haven't seen as much of him. I think you're going to probably want to test Sutton because he's less proven. But to be honest with you, I like Sutton a lot. I think he's got a bright future in this league. And, Artie Burns, there's still just a lot of question marks for me. So it'll be interesting to see how the Chiefs attack that.
Well, he's Tony Serino. Make sure you check out the Locked On Steelers podcast so you can learn a little bit more about the enemy, as we like to say. Tony, thanks for being with me.
Thank you. All right, and that'll do it for Crossover Wednesday here on Locked On Steelers. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. Always good to get the opposing team's thoughts and what they're thinking going into a matchup like this, especially one that is such a big game for the Steelers, right? I mean, again, The Steelers cannot afford to go 0-1-1 going into some of the games they have coming up against Baltimore. They've got the Bengals coming up again. They've got so many of these division games loaded into the front half of their schedule. And then you've got Atlanta coming to town in the back half of the schedule, with Jacksonville, New Orleans, New England. Again, this team needs to start piling up wins very early on in this season, as this schedule is going to get tougher and tougher as we go. So a very big matchup coming up on Sunday for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for my tape breakdown of Steelers-Browns right here on Locked On Steelers.